Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 82 of Bardic Quest. In our previous episode, the party had a tense encounter with Glassstaff, the elusive leader of the Red Brands. Now they must deal with the aftermath, and decide the fate of their enemy. Will they show mercy, or deliver justice? So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode of Bardic Quest. Last time we essentially finished with Sergei throwing a throwing a dagger into the neck of an unsuspecting Jarno Ulbrek, who we finished up with him collapsing to the ground, his kind of copies, his illusionary clones dissipating, and his staff of glass just rolling across the floor out of his grasp as he collapsed to the ground. Is there anything that you would like to do, any of you?
It is okay. I got him.
Whew. Yeah, second that.
Or just kind of roiling from that.
He was tough.
Can Johan, like, smash the head of the staff with the heel of his boot just to hear it crunch under his foot?
You certainly can.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's important. Oh.
And there's a crack as the rather ornate head of the staff just crumbles almost into dust underneath the heel of Johan's boot. Sildar rushes over to Ulbrek and just almost like puts him into a position of comfort as his... You're pretty much hearing him, Jarno, that is, choking on some of the blood that is pouring out of his neck.
So he's not dead yet?
He's very close to dead, but he is.
Right. Is it possible, in theory, for Thoric to heal this wound?
It is certainly possible in theory. What do you have in mind?
And very quickly, I rush over to him and I just say, do we want answers? Because I can heal him and we might be able to question him. But I fully respect if the answer is no.
I say we let him bleed.
He can turn back into a rat and scarper off if we're not careful.
What would you like to do?
Despite how awful this person is, it doesn't sit too well with Thoric. Like, if it had been a clean blow, it wouldn't have been quite so bad. The fact that we're all just kind of witnessing him slowly bleeding out is kind of quite grim. Mm-hmm. Thoric's got his hands plenty dirty enough. The rest of the day. There is a Red Brand who is still alive, isn't there? We didn't kill all the guards.
I believe that is correct, yes.
What are they doing?
Certainly the ones that were outside, the ones that you and Saga dealt with in the alley, they certainly aren't dead.
Yeah, there's one in the room with us. I'm pretty certain that there's one left, right, who who we haven't defeated. In which case, I will go over to them, and assuming there is no resistance at this stage, maybe wrongfully. Thorin just kind of approaches him with hammer in hand and just says, look, don't try anything stupid now. We want answers.
And this guard is just, I mean, practically unconscious, just dazed. Like, bleeding from his wounds. Just out of it on the ground. He doesn't really respond to what you have to say at this point.
Okay. Sildar, perhaps this one we can speak to in due course. There are some more of these red brands in an alleyway that me and Saga dealt with earlier.
Yes, including our acquaintance, Tommy.
And Sildar mutters under his breath, he says, curse the gods, there's not a prison big enough in this place. Got two cells down there, and all these to chuck in there.
Oh no, what a shame.
I'd like to go over and collect my dagger that I slit the throat off with.
You kind of kneel down next to Yano, who is still at this point just bleeding out and choking on his own bodily fluids, and he kind of watches as you kneel down and just pick up your dagger that's right next to his head.
I fear we don't have much time.
Much time for what?
If we are to question him, I would suggest it be soon.
Thoric looks around incredulous, kind of wiping his face like, I thought we just said we're going to not do that.
Oh, this is so morally wrong. I hold the dagger up to his neck. You know, I can make this quick for you. Can you talk?
Almost certainly not.
Thoric, having been given entirely the wrong idea, goes over to Yarno and casts Cure. Would Spare the Dying work?
Let me see now.
Such a living creature that has zero hit points, the creature becomes stable.
Spare the Dying would work, yes. It would certainly stop him from dying, which is the current state that he's in.
So,
in which case, Thoric goes over and starts to pull out one of his healing kits to try and, like, stitch the wound, and is kind of, like, just out of sort of practice of doing it. And as he just lays his hand on him, just this radiant light passes into Iarno and seals the wounds to the point that they're not bleeding anymore. And almost by accident cast Spare the Dying, which and kind of looks at his own hands, just sort of in disbelief at what he's done, and falls quiet and just steps away from Yarno, thinking.
The bleeding has now stopped. Sergei, you have Yarno's metaphorical ear.
Are you working for the Black Spider?
He says, you have no idea, do you?
That's kind of the point of an interrogation.
You have no idea just what you are meddling with, boy.
Brave words for someone who's dying.
He looks over to Thoric, just with it, throws him a glance, and he says, dying no longer, although defeated, admittedly.
Does it embarrass you that, as you describe, such a little boy could defeat you?
He says, I find solace in knowing that ultimately you will get what is coming to you.
Okay.
At this, Johann calmly takes out his oil bottle and very slowly unscrews the lid and begins to drizzle up and down him on his robe and leaves a little trail going just enough for head to be safe, puts the screw back on, and then gets out his tinderbox and begins to strike. Just enough to produce a few sparks, but not enough to produce a flame yet.
Sildar throws you a look, Johann, and he says, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
My job.
What, of setting us all fucking alight?
This isn't my first time. Trust me, you'll be fine.
He's probably not worth the oil you just spent on him.
I have to burn him. Even no matter what happens, I have to burn him.
Well, now you've become very well acquainted with this side of Johann, I'm going to ask that same question again. Do you work for the Black Spider, yes or no?
Scratch, scratch, scratch.
Do you want to both give me... Well, actually, Sergei, do you want to give me an intimidation check with advantage from Johann's assist?
13 both times plus numbers. Intimidation, right?
Yes, please.
For some reason, a plus 4. So that is 17 overall. Ooh.
He watches Johann and he looks down upon himself, now covered in oil. And he says, of course I am. He said, but you already knew that, didn't you?
Yes. It was testing to see if you were going to lie. Which I would not recommend in your current oily situation.
He says, I have been nothing but honest with you the entire time.
Okay. Second question. What is your interest in us and I?
He says to you, he says, come, come now, dear boy. You know that I have been pursuing you for many months now. It just so happens that when I stopped looking for you, that's when you appeared in my lap.
In your neck, I suppose, would be the correct term.
He kind of throws you a wry smile. And he says, yes, I suppose it would. As for your friends here, he looks to the rest of you. He says, unfortunately, they appear to have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and had they not tried to defend you, they perhaps wouldn't have been tarnished and defiled by your own questionable actions.
So, so. But I'm sure the Black Spider is not interested in my nautical history.
As I said, wrong place, wrong time. As it so happens, we both found ourselves rather serendipitously in the same town and involved in the same project.
I imagine fate brings the best of enemies close together.
The gods certainly have a dark sense of humor.
What does the Black Spider want?
question.
He wants what anybody wants. More.
More of what?
Power. Influence. And you, I'm afraid, have led him right to it.
In.
He has been searching, and you have led him there. Though you do not yet know. Well, of course you do now.
The map.
Way back, okay.
Shit.
How much does he know?
Enough, I think.
Johan loses patience, kind of stomps over to him, finds an open wound and just presses his foot on it.
And he lets out a cry of pain. And he says, "You're a fool, Hale."
"And you're a dead man."
He says, "You have no idea."
"Oh, I think I do."
"You don't, boy. You think you do, but you do not. You have no idea the forces at work here. It goes beyond the Black Spider."
"Then tell me, wizard, how far does it go?"
"Beyond what you can even comprehend."
"I tire of your riddles,
your order, wizard. Your order have been hunting and hunting to the point of being almost brought to their own knees."
"What do you know of my order?"
He says, "Well, that's the real rub, isn't it? I have been fed information from the Black Spider himself.
What
and he from others."
"What do you know? Tell me."
"Your order has been targeted. And your order will be the very vehicle that will bring darkness to the Sword Coast. And you have been doing their bidding the entire time and have no sense of it, boy."
"You lie. You lie."
"Would I lie to you?"
"Yes.
Yes.
Now, now lie. We've lied from the beginning."
"I have not once uttered a single lie."
"You be careful how you speak of my order, wizard, or I swear I'll burn you here. And they'll hear your screams all the way to the Sword Coast."
Saga puts a hand on Johan's shoulder. "Don't let him provoke you. They're the words of a dying coward.
He's
trying to get under your skin. Don't let him."
Slowly walk away.
I'd like to lean in,
mm-hmm.
following that conversation and seeing that Johan's walked away, and just go, "What order does he work for?"
"Well, my order is the Order of the Brethren Vigilant."
"Oh, Johan.
Oh, you mean him?"
Sergei was checking if he knew which one.
"Oh.
You sit." It's an interrogation.
Right. That's true. Sorry, I've lost blood.
It's okay.
He didn't hear that, did he?
I think he did.
He's looking at you. He definitely heard it.
Oh, that's right. We're killing him after this anyway, right?
Are we? Well, maybe we should.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it'd be fine.
But then Thoric will just heal him. Sorry, Thoric.
What?
No, nothing.
Well, we can't let him go.
No, we cannot.
And I don't know if we can trust that he'll be kept under lock and key either. So
Sildar kind of looks at you, offended. It's like,
don't you start with me, Sildar.
And he just utters, oh, for fuck's sake.
Sildar, could you go and make sure that our other friend and Elsa are both secure and okay?
Aye. And he heads down the stairs to check on Elsa, who was cowering down there during the fight.
Sorry, Elsa's here?
Yeah, yes. She was here.
How is Elsa here?
She came down to my cell, and she was cowering in the corner.
Yeah. Mm. She was. The other Elsa is still in Elsa's house.
Oh, Elsa came with Sildar?
Yes.
Yes.
I understand. Very good.
But I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the other Elsa, the one that you, whose house you broke into and beat up without much evidence, is still in the house.
I mean, she started it, so, and Saga was right. So
I'm being a troll.
Yes, you are. But Saga was right.
But yes, I believe she's still in the house. Locked.
Yeah, still. Sildar says maybe you should take Elsa home and make sure that everything's secure there.
He says, righto. And he says, now listen, before I go, I just want to make it very clear that man, and he points to Yarno, needs to stand trial and face accountability for everything that he's done here.
Well, you better make sure he can't escape then, shouldn't you?
He says, why would I do anything otherwise?
You let me keelhaul him.
I beg your pardon.
We're a long way from the coast.
Keelhaul. Drag him under a boat.
Again, he needs to stand trial.
Just make sure he doesn't slither away or turn into a rat or something, you know? Magic.
Right, well, that's somewhat beyond my own capabilities of limiting his magical abilities, but I'm sure if we strip him of his belongings and, well, the staff's seen better days, I'm sure that will...
Saga takes what's left of the staff.
He says, right, shall I lock him up then, for now?
Thoric, having a good knowledge of spell casting and different use of arcane items, will thoroughly remove anything other than clothes from Yarno.
Very well. And then Sildar says, shall I take him downstairs?
Go check on Elsa. When you return, we will lock him up.
Right. And he heads down, and after maybe 30 seconds or so, both he and Elsa return to the main hall that you are all in. And he says, right then, Yarno, come on.
Wait, I have one final question.
And Yarno looks at you. Yes?
You know what we're going to do now. You know that we're going to hunt down that black spider. You probably know what comes after that.
He says, I'm not entirely sure I do, actually.
Can I insight check that?
You certainly can.
And that one.
He doesn't appear to know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Killing the black spider, what does that set off?
He thinks for a moment. And he says, I'm not sure I understand. What are you expecting? Apocalyptic events for killing a man?
Well, I'm not sure what to expect either. The way you spoke about it sounded like we're part of a bigger sea rather than a tiny little pool.
Oh, that is certainly correct. Your focus has perhaps been in the wrong place.
Right place.
No, no.
Wrong time.
The wrong place. The right time, but the wrong place.
Where is the black spider now?
I'm not certain, but if I was to place my bets, he'd no doubt be at Wave Echo Cave by now.
I'm giving you this opportunity to tell the truth. What has the black spider got to do with my order?
Perhaps the better question would be, to whom is the black spider linked?
Are you saying that he's known to the order?
No.
Then how else could he be linked?
He said, well, and that just wouldn't be fun, would it?
Do not test my patience, Ulbrich. I will reopen your wounds by the flame.
Johann, it's not worth your breath.
I don't think he knows anything.
Perhaps I don't, but perhaps I know a little more than you might like.
Then how about some straight answers?
I've given you all the straight answers I can.
Well, know this, Ulbrich. Next time you and I come face to face, I'll make sure the knife not only cuts your throat, but stays in there. Enjoy prison.
I look forward to it.
As do I. As they say in pirate terms, for now, fuck off.
And Sildar just grabs him by the scruff and starts dragging him towards the door to the basement.
Thoric just nods and says, I've heard that one.
It's good.
So have I.
A horrible feeling we're going to see him again.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Well, that's Sildar's problem.
Yep.
He pops his head out the door. He says, I can hear you, you know.
Johann. Oh, I know. I know.
Kick him down the stairs.
He said, I got this under fucking control, honestly.
I want a short of just Sildar trying to get everything under control. This is him falling downstairs 24/7. Yeah. It's like Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
Engender a lot of faith in his abilities, does it?
Look, from the way Ulbrich was saying things, it seems like our journey to Wave Echo Cave just got a time limit on this.
Yes. How far is it?
I don't know. Gondrin has the map. We have the map. The map is somewhere.
Gondrin has the map.
Gondrin has the map.
Gondrin has the map.
You have the map.
Oh, no, I have the map.
You have the map. You have the map?
Yeah, and Saga goes, oh, yeah, yeah, I have the map.
I am a map.
I had to wrestle that fake Elsa for it.
Why is the map?
Elsa had the map. Where is the map?
I don't know when I became the pack horse of the group, but yes, I have the map. She looks at it, but she... How far is Wave Echo Cave?
Can we discern how far it is from this map?
Lean up and peer over.
So you all collectively gather around this map and you can see some clear markings upon it, such as Phandalin itself, and also the location of the ruins of Coneyberry, Thunder Tree, Old Owl Well.
Is the shrine on it?
The shrine is on it, mm-hmm. Yes. South of Coneyberry. Mm-hmm. You can also see a marking in the hills to the southeast of Phandalin, a notation of the Lost Mine, which you suspect may be half a day to a day's travel out of Phandalin. Difficult to judge because obviously it's in amongst the hills. So obviously you're looking at this as the crow flies. But it's relative to some other locations that you've been to, a fairly short distance away.
Well, let's get some rest, gather our things and head out there.
Tomorrow we should get some supplies. If it is true and the Black Spider has made it out there, I fear we're going to be facing a, how does one put it, shit show.
Let's get some food and sleep first.
Yeah.
I need to speak to Sildar.
Wait.
Why?
I just need to tell him something before we go.
Okay.
So clip clip clops down the stairs.
Sokka follows.
Orthodic. Looks like it's just me and you.
Alright. Wayne, just quickly, what possessions did I take off of Glassstaff?
This is a good question. All right, let me have a gander. So obviously Saga has what remains of the staff itself.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a spell book. And a component pouch, as is fairly standard, for a wizard. In reality, that's it.
Disappointing. Thoric will for now take the spell book.
Mm-hmm.
And the components, just with the intention of having a look through and seeing if it is indeed just spells or whether there's any other kind of notation or messages or notes on any sort of details about the red brands, him, anything, you know, any sort of gloating monologues of evil plans, you know, that sort of thing. You know, that
diary entries.
Yeah, dear diary, today I committed war crimes.
You're having a look through that now, are you?
Not now. I stow it. And I say, come on, Sergei. I'm going to go cook something.
Oh, yes, we've not had any of your cooking for a long while.
No.
Could you get the eggs and bakey?
It'll be something. I tell you what, let's have breakfast for dinner.
Oh, now you're talking my kind of language, Thorlick.
So he'll head to the inn with Sergei in tow, making sure that the remaining guard is sequestered. Thoric will clean up the other red brands and drag them back to the town master's hall, making sure they are dealt with as well. And then he will go to the tavern, which probably at this hour is kind of...
Oh, I mean, it's... let me have a look at my notes. Hang on. It is ridiculous o'clock. It's one thing I can say for certain.
What Thoric will probably do, seeing as we have rooms there, one of which has a broken window, Thoric will lay some money on the counter and then he will go behind the bar into the kitchen and just start cooking.
Brilliant.
I'd like to sit up on the bar and just play some tunes for Thoric while he cooks on the lute. Thoric. Oh, there was a bear.
Softly, something.
Oh, sorry. Nice. Oh, there was a cub.
That'll do.
Who was sitting in a pub?
You know, Sergei, wonders never cease to your lyrical genius.
Scrub a dub dub.
And chuckling to himself, Thoric lights a fire on the wood stove, gets a large, large fucking frying pan, and just starts laying whatever he can find, like this kind of like sausages, some bacon, just sticks the bread, like starts cutting slices of bread and just sticking it straight into the fat to make fried bread. Whips up some hash browns, maybe.
Oh, yes.
And starts to cook for him and eventually his friends, assuming that they will make an appearance at some point.
Speaking of those friends, Johan and Saga, you heading into the basement. Sildar is locking up Jarno and indeed the other guardsman or Red Brand that Thoric has chucked down there as well. Is there anything you'd like to do?
I turn around to see if Saga is behind me.
He is.
I go as if to say, turn around, but then I'd think better of it and I'd just kind of turn around and walk towards Sildar. And I say, Sildar, may I speak with you?
He says, aye, if you must. He seems a bit grumpy at this point.
Sildar, you do not know me very well, or my practices, or those of my order.
Aye.
In normal circumstances, I would have killed him myself. Or allow one of my companions to help me. It is only because that I know you and your sense of honor that I'm entrusting this duty to you. But I must ask that you do me a favor if you have any lingering sense of debt to us.
He says, well, I'm listening at least.
So I take a step towards him and I say, this is most important. When you hang him, burn the body.
He says, I'm not sure I understand.
When he dies, it is unimportant how he dies, but when he dies, I am trusting you to burn the body. This is paramount. Do you understand?
I understand the request. I'm not sure I understand why.
It's dark magic, obviously. Yeah, she kind of does a hand gesture of like flying like that.
He says, forgive me, but I am not well versed in this dark
Neither am I, but it was pretty obvious.
Oh, well. Forgive me for not being quite as intelligent as you. And he goes back to sulking and kind of...
Sildar's had a hard day.
Yeah, he's had a hard day, to be fair. Sildar.
Hi.
Do I have your word? He extends a hand.
He says, he says it might be beyond my sphere of influence, but I will do what I can.
Sildar, I need your assurance that this will be done.
He lets out a big sigh and he says, fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And he looks very conflicted. But in fact, give me an insight check.
Natural 20.
Beautiful. He looks very conflicted, in so much as you get a sense that obviously these guys, Iano and Sildar, are essentially work colleagues. They belong to the same organization, and you get the sense that hesitancy of essentially destroying the body of his potential former friend doesn't sit easy with him. However, you don't get the sense that that undermines the promise that he's just made.
Then I'll leave you. And he offers a scowl to Albrecht.
Albrecht just smiles back at Johan. So that's it for another exciting episode of Bardic Quest. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Before we go, we just wanted to give a big shout out to James Webster for letting us use his amazing animated artwork as part of the show. If you're a fan, be sure to show your support at patreon.com/JamesRPGArt. And of course, we can't forget the incredible sounds and music provided by Sirenscape. So head over to sirenscape.com to check out their amazing work.